Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dead in Hip Hop, Wale Week, the mixtape about nothing. Look, all week, man, we have had special guests. Today, it's not different. We got Mr. AKA and the Hold It Down podcast. How y'all brothers doing today, man?
We good, sir. We good.
I'm living life while life is living me.
I'm well.
That's what's up. The mixtape about nothing, man. I think that Bloodbath, you were saying that Festivus is the unofficial part of the whole
Seinfeld nothing. Tapes and all that. In my head, yes, because it does have the Seinfeld features and it's named after like a Seinfeld thing, like the Festivus tape. So to me, and Netflix, most people, it fits in like the Seinfeld tape theme that he had going.
Bet. So, yeah. Bet. So is that official or unofficial?
It's like a spinoff.
You call it a spinoff?
I can say it's more of a spinoff. That's a good word for it. Because I think if he wanted to, because it would have been, to me, it was just like he couldn't name it another mixtape about nothing and then have an album called The Album About Nothing. It's just too much of the theme hitting you overhead. So it's like, okay, for those who are true fans, here's the title. But for the album, this is going to be the closeout to the trilogy.
He be saying what I be thinking, bro.
I feel that.
That's what's up. That's but good. Going into this, I honestly don't think I listened to this when it came out. This joint really? Came out back in 2008. I don't think I was on Wale at that point in time. And I could definitely just tell by the beats that I wasn't on Wale at this point in time. Again, the go-go influence. It's
amazing.
I understand why he feels how he feels. No, another nigga on this planet was doing what I was doing and doing it the way I was doing it. So I 100% understand where the passion for what he does comes from. Because here's the thing. To me, this one, I had to like moonwalk all the way back. You know what I'm saying? Because if I listen to it with 2021 ears, I'm like, nah, bruh.
I understand that.
But, you know what I'm saying? And for that era, and even if it were to come out now as like an emerging artist out of DC, ain't nobody doing this. Yeah. He would still be unique. You would still have to talk about him. You would still have to say, how far can he push this genre of music? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you got to put respect on it.
Yes.
And after listening to this, I'm like, damn, bro. Like, I miss out on a whole era of Wale. Because, Saquon, you said on the last joint, man, like, Wale mixtapes. You know, I'm kind of 50-50 on, you know, mixtape Wale versus album Wale. Mm-hmm. But, man, bro, like, I respect them now. I respect them way more than I ever did.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, mixtape about nothing, man. This is like one of the things, like, I remember listening to this, and at the time, like, Wale was probably, like, one of my top new dudes. Like, like this is around the time where, like, when he got the cover, like, I was like, yes. Like, I was excited for him, you know what I'm saying? Because, like I said, coming with his own style, own genre, really. You know what I mean? He could spit. You know what I mean? He's a fly dude. You know what I mean? Like, good times, good stuff, man. It was nostalgia for a brother like me. Mm. For real.
Yeah, for me, I was like FIFO. I returned to this project after I listened to a multitude of Wale joints. And I will say, this didn't really age well to me. There's some good records on it, but this is like scratching the surface, Wale. This is not anything that's like, oh, okay, this is a breakout tape or project. This is more like, okay, this guy has talent and he could probably be bigger than his city.
Yeah.
But there's still, he needs a little bit more polish on this.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like at this time, like, artists was making independent albums and had to call them mixtapes. And I feel like this is kind of like that for him. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's all mostly original production. You know what I mean? Like, it's a concept. I don't even know if people was making like concept mixtapes like that.
No, well, at this time,
unless you count Jeezy Trap or Die,
I don't know. You know, that was really a concept like that. But what this remind me of in terms of the mixtape era was motherfuckers taking the hottest beat and just rapping over it.
Me too.
Like, this was that era of mixtape.
Rock Boys.
Yep.
Yeah, freestyle
yep.
on here.
Yep. That's yep. What, yep. This was that era of mixtape.
That's what it was.
Yep.
That's what I got too.
The Wayne shit.
Yep. Yep. 100%. So I don't know, Saquon, like, I don't think people were doing concept mixtapes or even albums like that. You know what I'm saying? But definitely not in the mixtape game. Not at this era of mixtape. Yeah.
And I also remember one thing that was crazy. One thing that's very crazy about Wale, I remember this is also in the era where Lil Wayne was like the hottest thing smoking. Like he could do no wrong on a verse. Mm-hmm. And this is when DJ White Owl was dropping tapes every week. And it was mad leaked Lil Wayne songs on there. And one time I heard the Nike Boots remix. And I remember hearing the song and thinking
Wayne.
The funniest thing is, I remember hearing that song and I was like, "Yo, this dude on the track with Wayne is terrible." I was like, "This is a terrible song. He's mad average." And then right after that, like, I end up hearing one of the songs that's actually on this, the Roots song that features Wale and Chrisette Michelle. You know, back when I had a crush on her. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, "Yo, it's the same dude. Like, what's going on here?" You know what I'm saying? So I end up checking him out. I'm like, oh, he's actually like he could rap. Like, he's not Nike Boots. He's not just another one of these dudes that get the Wayne feature and get their butt kicked on the song. Nah. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, like, I remember just playing this tape crazy back in the day. Like, this was one of those like songs I burnt out on the MP3 player, because I couldn't afford an iPod.
Feel you.
You know what I mean? Download mixtapes.
I do remember liking this mixtape, but I also agree that it has not aged that well. It sounds like when it came out. I mean, it's still good. It still has some very fun go-go songs on it, but with modern ears, it's not going to cut it. But in the time it came out, it was really fun and it was really different. And I still wish more rappers would make more go-go style songs, like infuse more go-go into their music.
Yeah. You know one thing I kind of liked about this tape too, that I feel like nobody else is going to notice but me? I liked how respectful he was. Like, he made a song called Manipulation and called the woman a bitch and then, like, explained why he said that.
And told her to pick a side.
Yeah, like.
Pick which one you want to be.
He was like, listen, I may have said the word bitch. It was from an artistic yaminery.
It was for the artistic yaminery.
The yaminery, you know what I'm saying?
Niggas need to bring that back.
Yaminery, you know what I'm saying? But, like, what rapper's going to say bitch on a song and then explain it?
And then
he's
going to
be like, you better accept that word, bitch.
I love this tape way, way, way back in the day, man.
So you heard it when it came out?
Oh, yeah. That's when you're talking about the blog era.
Yes.
That time. So
woo, Two Dope Boys.
I was all on Two Dope Boys, bro, at this time.
You just downloading any and everything that's on there. And I put this on.
That is true.
And I was like, man, of course, the go-go shit hit me. Like, I was first, the opening title sequence, when he was like, most niggas don't like nothing, so here's a tape about nothing.
Yes.
I was like, all right, you got me. I was like, you got me. Because I love how he flipped that. And I'm like, okay, you better be talking about some shit on here. And again, this is like the conscious Wale. Mm-hmm. This is where I picked up the conscious part of Wale. Then the Root song Wale is on came on. Fine. The heavy song with Bun B and Pusha T. And then he hit you with the Perfect Plan. But I tell you what, when that shit got the goddamn Kramer.
Yeah. Oh, that's I was like, bro, when he had that audio clip of when Kramer was saying Nick, I was like, oh, this motherfucker.
He's a nigga.
That's why I say like this is scratches the surface, because what other artists, I think one of y'all mentioned as far as doing concept albums or mixtapes, what other artists is doing shit that creative on a mixtape, man?
And I was like, man, he's actually like saying some shit, like talking about some shit. And I was like, I remember thinking to myself, man, I hope this guy blow up, man, because you know, because I had to like Kendrick Lamar vibes, like Kendrick Lamar was conscious, but yet he was appealing at the same time. So he can like do both. And that's why I was so disappointed when he signed with MMG, because I was like, man, they're going to take that away from him. And, you know, there was this whole anti-Wale thing that I went through for a period. Because he kind of went away from this type of stuff. But, you know, then there's the crazy, the Manipulation was another joint where he was talking
the Vacation
shit.
From Ourselves. The
fucking Vacation from Ourselves.
And then he got, not only did he got Wayne on there, but he got Elaine, Julia, Louise Dreyfus.
Yep.
On, like, to me, that was just like, okay, this nigga got connects.
Yeah.
Because you can't just get these people.
The artist integrity, which,
yes,
listening to it now, you know, is you know,
it's
kind
ironic,
of a hypocrite.
It's ironic,
you know?
Yeah. It's ironic.
It's like, because you kind of, things went things went bad with whatever is with his record label with the first joint.
Oh, with Interscope?
Interscope. But then all of a sudden, you know, you go sign with MMG to, I don't know, it was just weird, man. I felt really weird about that. But nevertheless, man, yeah, I this shit, man,
I'm surprised you didn't mention The Star with that J Dilla beat.
Oh, yeah. That joint was nice. I even like Be More Club Slam. I thought that was cool, too. Yeah,
The Be More Club Slam?
Man, you like that shit? Yes.
You sure you ain't talking about the Chicago Falcon remix joint? You sure you ain't talking about
that Be More Club Slam? that shit going, man.
Very surprised I am.
Okay. Yeah, that shit's nice.
Well, let me contradict that. I didn't like that one at all. I wasn't the biggest fan of that one.
Oh, Chicago Falcon is nice too, but both of them joints are nice.
I feel like okay, how I felt the same way about so I'm gonna mention a song, Downtown. Mm-hmm. I didn't like what he did with that, but then I like the one time in Houston. I felt like he was trying to attempt something and then he attempted again and did it right the second time. I feel like the Be More Club Slam and the Chicago Falcon remix are like him trying like an up-tempo joint and not getting it right the first time, and then like the second one was like, okay, I know what to do now. I like Chicago Falcon remix better, even without the verse breakdown at the end.
Yeah.
Like when I forgot, was it Mark Ronson he was working with?
Yeah, he got a couple joints for Mark Ronson.
Yeah, Ronson, like when he was working with him at the time, and like Mark was like, yo, slow this down. Like with that tempo, I don't know if y'all really realize what he's saying, and made him repeat nice the whole too. Joint. Like,
Yeah, but I fucked this heavy. I was like, man, this, like you, Nick, I was like, man, he got it. He got it. And I think I had a feeling, like I said, the go-go shit. Yeah. I said, nobody's doing that. Mm-hmm. And the thing about drums and rhythms is very, like, it's very appealing to people. Like, you get people a nice little drum and a rhythm and shit like that, people are going to bob their head. So you can instantly hook somebody with just the fucking beat. Bro. The crazy
thing about that is, like, no matter what generation you're in, live instrumentation always wins.
Always.
Like, no matter what record or whatever, like, live, if it's done well, and then you can float on it. That's why I got to give a shout out. Not to say this is what they were doing, but I love that it seemed like him and Best Kept Secret, that duo. Bro, like he helped them out so much. And then I hate that they dropped off after 2017, because that's, I think, the last thing they produced was for SZA on her Control album.
Really?
But after that, you don't really hear much records from them. But all these mainstream.
Where are y'all?
Man, I missed that. I haven't heard much, so maybe you can put me on, but like, I missed that duo, man.
No, wherever y'all are, come back.
I know it's going to be a good time when I hear, it's the Best Kept Secret.
Yeah. Oh, they got some joints.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. Yeah, this was a great, just solid tape all over. Like, even with the remake of a remake, a joint that I've heard sampled or used mad times, but like still being able to come with a fresh take on it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Just, yeah.
It almost sounds like a concert, and then like now we're, you know, kind of switching the tempo a little bit, and you know what I'm saying, just making it a little smooth versus like the other, you know what I mean? Like, this joint had variety.
Yeah, it did. Mm-hmm. It did. I liked it.
It was a whole lot of something to be about nothing. You feel me?
All right, going around the room, Mr. Buck 20, aka Mr. Duce, aka Yo Mama's Side Nigga. did this project age well for you, bro?
No, it didn't age well, but it showcased the talent that we will see down the line. Like, it was a great appetizer for what we're gonna get as far as the artist in the future. But nah, this is pretty dated. Like, there's a lot of records that are very dated.
Got you. What about you, Saquon?
I say it didn't age well, but I'm gonna take the same thing we said for another. I call it like a period piece. I feel like it represents a good nostalgia for me. I could almost like, when I listen to this, I can imagine myself like back in Florida, you know what I'm saying, in front of my PlayStation 2, you know what I'm saying, playing games and just listening to some of my headphones. Like, so it's a period piece for me.
That's what's up. What about you, LeBow?
I don't think it aged that well either. Is it fun? Yeah, but it's not something I return to regularly, like, at all.
But what about you, Ken?
I wanted it to. I feel you. But it didn't.
Yeah. You know, with this being like my first time listening to it, I could definitely tell it was the shit when it came out. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely, you know, it's dated. It sounds older, but you still have to respect what he was doing, because there's still nobody that's done this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
So it's still in its own category. So you gotta respect that. But look, man, tomorrow is Single Sunday, and we are concluding Wale Week tomorrow.
With that being said, follow us on social medias so that way you can recommend the next week that we do. We are definitely open to suggestions, so make sure you follow us on Discord, IG, Twitter, personally, and Dead & Hip Hop as a crew. And while you at it, go follow Mr. Disrespect. Go follow the Hold It Down podcast. You know what I'm saying? They are all Dead & Hip Hop family. We mess with you. We love you. So that means that tomorrow, we promise that we'll give you the last iteration of Wale Week. We out. Peace.
Peace. Peace.